Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life and to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, March 17th, 2022. Yesterday was one of the happiest and most exciting days in my life and the life of millions of others. We received the ecstatically great good news that Iranian prisoner, dual citizen, Nazanin Ratcliffe was on her way home to be reunited with her husband and daughter in the UK. We knew a few days ago when the regime returned her passport to her. This was in the midst of some British that had traveled to Iran and were doing negotiations. And it's pretty much assumed that the long outstanding $1 million or so debt that was owed to Iran back in 1979 through the UK had been paid. For 6 years, Nazanin had been used as a political pawn. When she was on her way home, during Easter break in 2016, she was arrested at the airport and charged with spying and charged later on with trying to overthrow the regime, act against national security. All these different charges were leveled at her, and all of them were false. But it soon became very clear the reason why she was being held captive was because supposedly Great Britain, the UK, owed Iran a long outstanding debt from decades ago. And of course, the Iranian regime is suffering because of the sanctions, and they demanded in many ways that this debt be repaid. For the last year, because of COVID, Nazanin had been staying at her parents' home. She had an ankle bracelet to monitor her. So for at least 1 year, she was in a better environment, if you will. She wasn't in Evin prison, which is a horrible place, ungodly place to have to suffer in. So for the last year, Nazanin has been in, if you will, house arrest with a monitor on her ankle. And negotiations supposedly have been going back and forth, and Richard Ratcliffe went on a hunger strike. But you could tell in his facial expressions and in the tone of his voice, he was exhausted. He was so frustrated with the British Parliament not making any progress. And of course, people like myself and thousands of human rights activists have been speaking out and praying for Nazanin. And yesterday, we saw the fruit of our labor. We saw the fruit of answered prayer. And I saw a picture of Nazanin sitting on that plane on the way back. You could see the exuberance and the joy in her face. And when I made posts on Facebook about the good news. It was flooded with likes and comments. And then I saw later on a short video of when she arrived in the airport in the UK. You could hear her weeping and moaning as her little daughter, I think 6 or 8 year old Gabriella, was rushing towards her. You couldn't see that. There were some barriers there, and Richard was standing there. And then later we saw a photograph of them all together. The joy, the unspeakable joy. There has been so many people, those in Parliament, human rights activists like myself. There was even a play dedicated to Nazanin in the last few years. All of our labor and all of our heartfelt prayers were absolutely answered. And I know there's an adjustment period with being apart from his wife for 6 years, getting back together. Tell you something, little Gabriella was just, you could see her face, joy in her eyes like never before. I have written about Nazanin in my last book, Shout Freedom. I will probably have to update that at some point in the future. She is no longer a prisoner of Iran. This goes to demonstrate this has been a nightmare. This has been the hardest thing a husband would have to endure, a wife would have to endure. But yet, in the end, it was worth it all. It was difficult to be patient and difficult at times to be hopeful. But God heard the cries of our heart. And in, for his purposes and in his perfect timing, Nazanin is back home. And I just want to praise God for such good news. And I wanted to share that with you this morning because so many of you have came to my Facebook. This is a demonstration that speaking out and praying really does work, if you will, for lack of a better word, really does see results. It's the hand of God. It doesn't always come true. It isn't always joyful. There are some real tragedies, but yet all in all, God be glorified in the return of Nazanin Ratcliffe. I pray that their life would be filled with great joy, that healing would take place in those hurts and wounds, and that their life can somehow return to normal once again. That's the good news. Now for some tragic news. It's amazing how these things happen. I came across this article almost at the same time yesterday with the good news of Nazanin. And it was put out by Persecution International Christian Concern. And the title of the article was Christian Convert Assassinated in Iraq Following TikTok Video. And it grabbed my attention because this was obviously an honor killing. And I have written on this in my books. It's on my podcast. In fact, there is this particular podcast about this young Iraqi girl up on my Anchor podcast, which is also on the Spotify platform. But I want to share with you a very tragic story that I've entitled Maria, a Shining Light in the Darkness of Iran, or Darkness of Iraq, excuse me. Who is Maria? She's the 20-year-old daughter of a Muslim cleric. She recently converted to Christianity, and as a result, she was murdered. She was honor killed on March 7th. In northern Iraq by her family. Her actual name is Iman Sami, but she's known as Maria to her friends. And while all details about this case are not completely clear, it's suspected that this honor killing was retaliation by her family following a TikTok video she posted where she was singing Christian songs. King, who's the president of International Christian Concern, had this to say: "For someone born as a Muslim to be open about exploring Christianity is a tremendous act of bravery, as most Muslim background believers in the region face intense pressure from both their families and communities. Maria's TikTok post should not have ended with her death." And he goes on to say, that is, Jeff, "Iraq is just emerging from a very difficult time when Christians experienced a horrific genocide. It is an important step toward healing for Iraq to pursue an investigation of due process into issues related to freedom of speech and religion. A close friend of Maria said, she's a Christian, a member of my Bible study group gave her a Bible last month. Mostly, she turned to Christianity, and her family knew because of this video she posted on TikTok. A little background on this precious dear saint. Iman Sami, known as Maria, was found by police on March 7th. She suffered so tragically in her life because of her early marriage. This is a child, I think, arranged marriage. She was drowned in marriage at the age of only 12 years old. And she had just turned 20. After separation from her husband, she lived alone. No details about why, but I can only imagine abuse. But Maria was never silent. She was an activist in the field of women's rights and a very brave woman. She has videos on TikTok that have reached hundreds of thousands of views. But on March 7th, she was silenced. Her brother and her uncle killed her. What were these videos about? Women's rights. The rights of women. In Islam, there are no rights for women. But she had become a Christian, and she was speaking out, I would imagine, for women who are suffering like she did. The murder of Maria was discovered just one day after Iraq's National Day of Coexistence and Tolerance, a day declared on the anniversary of Pope Francis's visit last year. Iraq's Christian community continues to suffer the severe consequences of the ISIS genocide, and Muslim background believers are especially at a high risk of targeted violence because of their conversion to Christianity. Let me say this about Maria, who spoke out for the rights of women, a very brave follower of Jesus. In her final on this TikTok video, singing songs of praise. This outraged her family. You know, most Muslims, men or women, don't have much hope in Islam. They feel so stressed to measure up and to please Allah. They are so empty because it's a treadmill of good works and obedience, constant trying to fasting and praying. And Maria had probably reached a point in her marriage where she said, no longer endure this. And she found her hope and healing in Jesus. But her last video tells a very, very special story. It is a witness to you and I who take our freedoms every day so much for granted. Maria was in a very dangerous place to become a Christian, especially with a Muslim background. But she didn't keep silent. She got up on TikTok and she said, Lord, I love you, I praise you in these Christian songs. And now she is praising Jesus with all of the saints face to face with him. We pay tribute today on the cross in the desert to a very brave Iraqi and this is a great what I want to teach you today on the life-transforming words of Christ. I'm sure that Maria read these very words that I'm about to read to you. Our world is in chaos today with all that's happening in the Ukraine. Just coming off of the COVID disaster we are now faced with this, it seems like there is chaos, violence, despair, and uncertainty in our world on a daily basis. There is no such thing, it seems like, returning to normal. But it's in the midst of our chaos, and it's in the midst of our uncertainty, that the words of Jesus are so desperately needed. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Hunger and a thirst is part and parcel of the human condition. We love good food. I love spaghetti. I can never get enough of that. And we love to drink, especially good, clean running water that most people don't have in third world countries. Hunger and thirst is just a part of us. But Jesus is talking to us not in a physical sense. He's talking to you and me in a spiritual sense. He said, I am the bread of life. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, were fed manna by God from heaven. And Jesus says, that manna, I'm that true manna. I'm the bread of life. I'm all that you need. I'm all that you're hungering and thirsting for. The hopelessness, the despair, the brokenness, come to me. I am the bread of life. If you do, you will never hunger again. And if you believe in me, you'll never be thirsty. Those terms leap out at us. Jesus satisfies our spiritual hunger and thirst. And when you hear those words, like Maria, many Muslim women hear these life-transforming words of Christ, and they want to know him. And they want to know Christ. They have a spiritual thirst that Islam will never satisfy. They have a spiritual hunger that it can never, never fulfill. Jesus says, all that you need is found in me. And as we look today at what's happening with the people of Ukraine, our hearts are broken. Daily there are people killed by an unmerciful tyrant named Putin. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, had close friends. One of those close friends was Lazarus. And Mary and Martha, his sisters, came to him and said, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. This troubled Jesus, but he didn't come right away to heal him. He deliberately waited 2 days, and then he told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And when he finally traveled to Bethany, Mary and Martha were just distraught. Why did you let our dear brother die, your best friend? When Jesus heard of that, he wept. He understood the human condition of suffering and pain. But you see, Lazarus, his death was carefully planned. Jesus allowed him to die for a greater purpose, so that he may raise him from the dead in front of all those in Bethany and bring glory and honor to his Father, so they would believe in him, that he truly is the Son of God. And the words that he says to the troubled hearts of Martha and Mary are the words that we need to hear if we are lingering on our deathbed, if we are very sick, or we know someone that has died. These are the most life-transforming words. Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The greatest demonstration of the truthfulness of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our hope is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. He was correcting a false teaching in the Corinthian church. And he goes on to say, but Christ has indeed been raised, you foolish Corinthians. You see, everything that Jesus taught and said was vindicated. When he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and then rose again, it vindicated everything he had taught, that we can know for certain. We can know that he truly is the Son of God because he rose again from the dead on the third day. And so this statement, this declaration to a troubled Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. We can have hope and peace that if we die in faith, believing in Christ, that we will be in heaven. We will be in paradise, face to face with our Savior at the moment of death. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So this is why these words are so life-changing. It's a promise in the midst of our brokenness and despair, in the midst of our last remaining moments of life, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I want to go on to another example of the life-changing words of Christ, and there's so many, but I've chosen these four. Jesus said to his disciples, this was the night before his crucifixion. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They had asked him previously, Lord, just show us the way. Jesus says to them in those words, those life-transforming, bold, declarational words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This, once and for all, puts to rest the cultural idiom that there are many pathways to God. Sorry about that. Jesus made it very clear that you're not going to get to God the Father except through me, not through Buddha, not through Krishna, not through Muhammad. Doesn't matter who these world religion leaders are. They're all dead and in the grave, but Jesus is alive. Jesus says, I am the way. There are not many pathways to heaven, not many pathways to God. Jesus made it very clear, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven that we might be saved, the name of Christ. And so Jesus is saying to you today, if you are lost and uncertain, and you're looking for truth, I am the way. If you are doubting, if you are searching, if you don't know what to believe, I am the truth. And if your life is just deplorable, filled with despair and heartache and brokenness, I am the life. Jesus is saying, I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What that says to me in so many ways is that Christianity is not just another religion. In fact, Christianity is not a religion. It is a love relationship with God through Christ. And for those that want to believe the cultural idiom of many pathways to God, once and for all, that's settled here in John chapter 14, verse 6. The most important, powerful words ever uttered from the mouth of Christ, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our last scripture, actually, this was one of my mother's favorite verses. Then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I think it's pretty obvious that we live in a world of stress. Much stress and much anxiety. The last 2 years have been a burden, have been a stressor on all of us. And it seems like that when things began to change a little bit and hospitalizations came down from COVID, it seems like this whole situation with Ukraine burst upon the scene, and it seems like the chaos just doesn't go away. And that's why these words of Christ are so peaceful and so life-transforming and so inviting. We want to get away from the chaos and the noise and the stress. Many people turn to Eastern meditation, to yoga, to whatever will make them feel better. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, come to me, not to a religious system, not to some New Age technique. He's saying, come to me. If you want rest, if you want your heavy burdens lifted, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. Now, he's speaking not just of physical rest, but of spiritual rest, because the religious person strives and strives and strives to do what they believe is enough good works. They feel as though on this treadmill of performance, I need to measure up. Even Christians do that. I talk a lot about Muslims, but even Christians are guilty of trying to accrue enough of their own righteousness. So religion becomes this works system where you feel like you never measure up. Well, Jesus says to the weary disciples of his day, whose lives have been infiltrated by the false religion of the Pharisees and scribes, he says, come to me. He's saying that to you today. Come to me, all of you who are weary. Well, false religion causes great weariness and despair. If you're weary and you're carrying heavy burdens, you're putting yourself on this treadmill of perfection and performance. He's saying, come to me. You who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That is a promise. These are the words that change the human heart. He's saying, look, take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you. Let me explain to you. Let me have a relationship with you. I want to teach you of how to walk this walk, how to live this life that's focused on me. I am humble and gentle at heart. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? When you know me, you know I am the kindest, most compassionate person in the world. I am humble. I am gentle at heart. You see, the Savior of Christianity, Jesus, is not a hard taskmaster. He is humble. He is gentle at heart. He is a Savior that heals your brokenness. He doesn't point the accusing finger at the woman of the well, the Samaritan woman who had been guilty of having five husbands, and in a relationship with one she was not presently married to. Jesus offered this Samaritan woman not condemnation, but living water. He offered her himself. And he introduced her to himself as the Messiah. He was humble and gentle at heart. He could have easily accused her of this wanton, sinful lifestyle that she lived. And he did poke her heart a little bit in that area, but did not lift, he did not push condemnation on this Samaritan woman. He lifted her out of her lifestyle of despair and sin, and she believed him as the Messiah. He offered her living water because he was humble and gentle at heart. Jesus says, let me teach you. I'm humble and I'm gentle. And then he says, you will find rest for your souls. Your soul will no longer be in turmoil or trouble. When you come to Christ, he lifts the burden of perfectionism off you. He lifts the burden of despair off of you. He takes away those burdens. He teaches you from his humble and gentle heart. And when you come to Christ, you can find rest for your souls. This morning on the program, we've been learning about the life-transforming words of Christ. Let's go through them just one more time again. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. These are life-transforming words, not from some misguided religious leader, but from the living Savior of the universe, Jesus, the resurrected and glorified Christ. We find hope and healing in Christ. And I have no doubt that Maria, the dear Christian martyr in Iraq, she must have read these words. It must have brought healing and hope to her soul, that even when she faced this firing squad of her family, she could rejoice that she's going home to Jesus. Is that you? I want you to think about that a little bit, and I want to play a song from Bethel Music, Brandon Lake, Too Good to Not Believe. Let's listen.
I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend, and there is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you.
Incredible worship from Brandon Lake. Too good to not believe. Our God is good. He is filled with mercy and filled with compassion, none of which we deserve. He loved us in our sinfulness, pursued and chased us, chased after us with his irresistible love. And when I think of the miracle of Nazanene's release, and I think of the great joy and happiness in her heart, Gabriella and Richard's heart, and when I think of the incredible answer to prayer, I'm reminded of what the song says, it's too good to not believe. He is a miracle-working God. He is a good God. And on the cross in the desert, whenever I speak of the gospel, I'm not speaking of a religion. I'm not speaking of a list of do's and don'ts. I'm not speaking of that at all. I am speaking of a life-transforming, vital relationship with Jesus. Because Christianity is Jesus. It's Christ. And what we have learned today on the cross in the desert is that the words that Jesus speaks are powerful. They cut to the chase, if you will. They penetrate the hardest heart. They bring change and revolution. They change the most evil, hardened heart of stone into a heart of flesh. The Ukrainian church has been transformed by the living, breathing words of Christ. They are staying behind to help their wounded people. They have faced this situation with great courage, and how we can be inspired by them. But this morning, before I leave you, I want to talk to you from the heart about Maria. Many of my books talk about the tragedy of honor killing. One in particular is Prisoner of Her Culture that is doing quite well in the UK. Thank the Lord for this very special following. There are Pakistani Muslims that live in the UK. Some of them are not very happy with my book, but I tell it like it is. But just a little bit of background, the storyline in that book, since we're talking about Maria and honor killing. Sakina was made to marry someone she didn't love. It was a forced marriage that her father and mother arranged so a debt could be paid. And this man did nothing but bring grief and suffering to her heart. But when they traveled to the United States, Sakina decides, I am going to speak out about the atrocities of honor killing, acid attack, and the treatment of women in Pakistan. And so she becomes a human rights activist as a Muslim. But during the evening when she returns home from school, she puts back on her Pakistani garb and pretends everything is okay. She is speaking out for the rights of women. She was just like Marina. One day, her husband discovered what she was doing. I won't tell you the end of this story. It is amazing. But this is a book that talks about how this young Pakistani girl was able to overcome the prisoner mentality of her culture. I wish Maria could have done that. I wish Maria was still alive, that she could be a continued strong voice for Jesus and for the rights of women in Iraq. But she is face to face at home with Jesus. And we can learn so much from Maria. What can we learn as Christians? That there is a cost to following Jesus, especially in the Middle East. Here that we take our church time and freedoms for granted, we have wonderful, relaxing, comfortable pews. But Maria found her platform on TikTok, and she paid for it with her life. You see, Jesus says, if you want to come after me, you want to follow me, you must first deny yourself and take up your cross and then follow me. Maria knew that cost, but her last video was about praising him in song and celebration. Oh, how we can learn from this young Iraqi girl. From the age of 12 to 20, she was in an abusive marriage. She never knew what growing up was all about. She was married at 12, dead at 20, but now alive in heaven with Jesus. I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today on the broadcast. I hope that you will share Maria's story on my podcast. I hope that you will share this program that has the life-transforming words of Christ. You know, Ramadan is coming up, and Muslims and all of us, not just Muslims, all of us need to hear these wonderful life-transforming words. I pray that you have a great rest of the week, a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.